Welcome to the IT Rockstars podcast. Our mission is to transform the way you grow your technology business.
What is your business and what is it that you do? A little bit about your history. That'd be really good just to kind of introduce us to our audience. Our audience are managed IT service providers.
Yeah, sure. So my business is called Electric Peach, and we are a marketing agency based here in Australia, mainly out of Perth, but we work with MSPs all across Australia, including Hobart and Tasmania. We've got some clients over there. And we provide, we're at the core of it, we are a marketing agency who provide, you know, marketing, branding and websites, but we really focus on positioning and you know, strategy as well, so that when you're going to market, you've got the right message, you've got the right tone of voice, and you know how to talk to your customers as well as find them.
And like you're a marketing agency, how long have you worked in the marketing agency world?
I've worked in marketing agencies for about 15 years now, so a while.
This series of questions that I've got in my head that I want to ask you, Gabby, is they're probably more related to me than they are to the audience. I'll try and relate them to the audience. And it's purely because of that 15 years of experience that you have. So I'd really love to pick your brain on it more than anything else. The whole agency model. What your experience is, and the reason for that is because I'm potentially planning going down the agency model. I've always been told to stay away from it. So I've spoken to agency models and the agency owners in the past.
Yeah.
And they're like, don't do it, Scott. It's a lot of hard work. They're always trying to get away from it. They're always telling me, like, try and get a productized service or try and get a piece of software or, you know, something that you can scale bigger than an agency. And I'm like, oh, okay. So there's the membership model we've got here at IT Rockstars. Mm-hmm. That's been existing for 5 years. We got a lot of people coming to us now, MSP clients, saying, can you just do the marketing for me? And I'm thinking, oh, maybe I need to do the agency model. But I have like absolutely no idea where to start with it. I don't know what the pitfalls are. Like, starting up on my own, that type of thing. In regards to team, like, who do I employ first? So it's like, it's a whole new concept to me, Gabby.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, you can go in so many different directions as well. And, you know, I've learned a lot over, well, I've had Electric Peach for 2 years, but before that was at another agency that I was running. There's, you know, the first hire is a big question as well. Like, my first hire was a graphic designer. Because I felt like I had all these, you know, great ideas, but couldn't bring them to life myself because I'm not a graphic designer, I'm a marketer. So he was my first hire. And then I've started to build the team out with a copywriter and then another marketing person as well, because, when you're, you know, the agency owner and the marketer, you're really hands-on and involved. But you also need other people to help bring things to life.
That's what I want to avoid. I want to avoid the hands-on thing.
Yeah.
So now relating this back to the MSP, I've seen this in the past. It was an MSP that I worked for. It was a really successful one. And the guy that started up, a guy called Rob Hamilton, he decided that he was not going to be hands-on with the technical work. He knew technical stuff, but when he started this new MSP up, he decided, I'm not going to do that. That is the tech guy's stuff. He's going to focus on growing the business and having the client relationships. So that's kind of what I want to do with a marketing agency. It's like that model, so that I don't get drawn into it.
That's the goal as well. Like, I love that. I love, so I've come really from an account management background as well. So when I, you know, hit the agency side, so I studied marketing back in uni and then went into an agency, was doing the marketing work, but also working really closely with clients. So I really love the client side, like, you know, being able to, talk to the client, be able to take, you know, what maybe their pain points or what they're looking for, and then create that into something that the team then brings to life. But yeah, it is a balance, because you get really involved in all sides, and then, you know, being a business owner as well, there's a lot more hats that you wear along the way.
So, yeah. So that's the bit that actually scares me the most. So like things like copywriting, I don't mind. Graphics, I can go to Upwork or somewhere like that. Yeah. But it's actually it's the touch point with the clients. Like that's the bit that scares me from doing this.
Yeah. It can be time consuming, definitely.
Do you think it takes a certain type of personality or traits for that to be successful? The client account manager type role?
Yeah, I think so. It definitely, you know, there's a lot of skills that come into it. Being able to interpret what someone says and what they actually mean, and then being able to take that away and give it to the team in a way. I think you have to have a lot of patience as well, because yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. And when you're working with owners, like we might be working with MSP owners, you know, there's a lot that they're running on their side as well. So you have to understand that, you know.
Okay.
Just give a bit of patience where, you know, where's needed.
So how big's Electric Peach? Like how many employees do you have?
So I've got 4 full-timers, including myself, and then 2 casuals at the moment. Then, yeah, we've got a range of clients as well. So, yeah, some
projects. Is it just MSPs or is there other types of clients in the mix as well?
There's other types of clients, but the strategy at the moment is focusing in on MSPs. So they're majority of our client base, but I do have some of my like foundational clients who come from other industries.
Why do you focus on MSPs?
Well, it's been an industry that I've been working with since I started, really. One of my first clients 15 years ago was a big, IT company here in Australia. And then I've just found myself naturally working with them over the years. And I just see a lot of potential and opportunity. I think there's, there's a lot that you can do and a lot that's done badly in the industry at the moment. So yeah, there's just a lot of potential, and it's, you know, it can be a lot more fun than it sounds from the outset.
What do you mean, like, can you give me an example of potential and opportunity? Can you give me like an actual example of where you see that? What that is?
So I think, you know, I think when a lot of MSPs start their own, we'll just take it back a step. A lot of the MSPs that I work with at the moment, they've maybe got a website, they maybe have a LinkedIn page set up, but they don't have anything beyond that. They just don't know how to bring their marketing to life. So that's the opportunity. And I think, you know, there's really passionate people in those organizations. They know a lot. They have some really good markets that they go after as well. So one of our clients here in WA, they're really passionate about helping the not-for-profit sector. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of good work they do there. We just help to create that message and bring it to life and make a consistent marketing strategy.
So are you, as you look at, you know, the opportunity that MSPs have is like you're looking across the board at a lot of them. I know certainly when I'm building out lists of MSPs for our direct mail campaigns and things like that, some of the MSPs don't even have a LinkedIn page, or when you go to their website, they don't have a link to the LinkedIn page. So you go to the About Us page, there's absolutely no information, you know, about us as in who runs the business, who's in the business. You can't faces or names on the website or anything like that. Is that what you mean by like the opportunity, like, you know, bringing to life their web presence and their online presence?
Yeah, and everything. So, you know, from the website to what they do internally as well, like we can help to bring out that internal communication and help with their company culture, even with their proposals. I think a lot of technically minded people, they write what they know. For example, like if they were writing their proposal document out to a small to medium business owner who's, you know, not an IT manager, some of the proposals that I get, because whenever we start with a new client and we say, send me your proposals, send me this, send me that, I read them. And as someone who knows this industry quite well, often I'm like, what does this even mean? Like, what are you trying to say? You're not speaking in a language that people can understand. So, you know, that's where I see a lot of opportunity as well.
Wow. I've never even thought about that side of it, is the proposal writing. Like, I've always focused on the lead generation, but that's a really good point, as like looking at the proposals and how they're written, because that's it's almost like one of those points of conversion, isn't it? It's like you can get that wrong really easily.
And that's right. And, you know, as a marketer, we say, like, we can make people aware of your business and we can send people to you, but in the end, it's up to you to convert them as well. And so you still need to have that part of the funnel and that part of your branding.
You need to get them over the line. Okay. So, like, how would that work then? Like, you're looking at the proposals, there's a lot of technical stuff in there. It's not really telling the client about, or the potential client, of the business benefits of what this actually is. Hitting on those pain points in a marketing way. How do you fill that gap? Are you going and looking at every single proposal that goes out, or do you have templated copy that you allow your clients to, you know, swipe? How does that work?
Yeah, so normally when we start working with a client, we spend the first part of the engagement doing a deep dive and an audit. So during that time, that's when we start to have a look through all these documents. We'll look at the website, we'll look at the socials, everything. And then we also period start to develop out the brand strategy. So we'll look at the tone of voice. And when it comes to a proposal specifically, we just have a conversation, and sometimes I'll say, like, pretend I'm your client. Like, this is always the best way for me to understand how you're actually talking to them. So, like, give me the pitch. How are you talking? What are you trying to sell me on? And then, yeah, I work with my copywriter, and we create the story, I guess, around what the package is, what the bundle is, why it's a benefit to the business. So, you know, for example, one client that we've got who's based in Ballarat, they've got three main packages, and one of their packages was called Enterprise something something. And I was like, but you're talking to small and medium businesses. Why are you calling it an enterprise package? And they came back and they were like, oh, it's actually named after this boat that was, like, in, you know, the 1900s. And I was like, well, no one's going to know that.
Or it's going to be a Star Trek reference.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, it's a very niche reference that you're throwing in there, but in nowhere in, like, the copy of that. Like, I was like, I get a tie-in, right? Like, and you can build a story around this boat or whatever it may be, but you just drop that. You've just called it something, which means something else. And then,
They've almost, like, got too personal, but they haven't explained that personalization.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they've taken it a little too meta.
I kind of like that, though. Okay, so you look at, almost like their packages that they're offering, and then you come up with is it template material that you're providing them? The reason I'm focused on the quotes here is because, I just never really thought about that before.
So we've got clients who do their quotes in all different ways. So some will go out with, like, a pitch deck, so we can have a look at that. Others use quoting platforms, so we'll build out a proposal in that as well. So we'll go in and customize those.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah, it's a really, really good point. So, you know, in regards to, like, you mentioned there, you're looking at their current, I guess, assets in the business that lead up to a sale. Is that something that the client account manager is doing, or is that someone else that's doing that task in your business?
In my business, it would be me running that side of it for now.
Okay. Yeah. So this is getting back to my questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I work with a copywriter to.
Okay. Cool. Because this is the thing. I have no idea. Like, a marketing agency, I have no idea how it would be structured or anything. It's like, it's just like, it's all new to me. Which is a bit crazy. So it's like, I've got all these questions. I'm like, I was on Amazon last week, just, like, looking for a book about how to run a marketing agency. And it's like, no, I don't want to go and get a job with a marketing agency and have to learn it that way. I just want, you know, people with the experience already. And that was hence the reason I asked you, like, who did you hire first at the start of the interview?
Oh, yeah. I know. Well, there's definitely those questions that I think about a lot is like, how do you keep building the agency and what's the structure you put in there as well? Because, you know, someone said to me once, like, you are not scalable. So I'm like, that is true. So, you know, you still have to build something that's scalable. And even though a lot of what we're doing and what we're building right now, it primarily comes from my skill set, it's still a bigger vision that I need to build out in the agency, and something that's really instilled through every point as well.
That vision that you've got, do you have an idea of, like, if it was like a perfect world, you know, 5 years from now you've built out that perfect vision, do you know what that would look like?
Yeah, so my perfect agency, I guess, would be around 20 staff. And then multi-million, and just a really good core client base would have clients all across Australia and New Zealand, and the UK as well. And then, yeah, little teams that operate within the agency, and I wouldn't be as hands-on with the actual marketing work. I'd be more running the agency at that point.
Why, how do you get to the number of 20 staff? Is that just from like a figure of millions that you want to generate in revenue every year, and you work it back to, okay, I'm going to need some 20 staff? But why is 20 the number?
Yeah, I mean, I guess 20 to 30 would be the sweet spot, but no bigger than that, because I think at that point it's a whole other beast that you're building, and, you know, with more staff come more HR considerations as well. I just think
a whole management structure, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. So I think 20 to 30 is a real sweet spot for an agency, and something that can be sustained as well at that point. Because I guess I don't want to grow too big. My goal is to have my agency for a long time. I don't want to grow my agency to a point of selling it. So I'm not on that like growth at all costs trajectory. I'm at a really sustainable growing a lifelong kind of commitment.
Cool. So I've written out like the plan I've got. So as I say, I'm on this journey. I think it's probably going to be a productized service. It's not going to be a full-on marketing agency. I've already got an idea of what that will be. Facilitated. It's almost like facilitated webinars for MSPs. So we'll like every quarter we will run a webinar and get like 50 people in the room for you. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, from the agency side, it'll generate cash flow, and then the cash flow goes into potentially a software product. So I've got this idea about a software product. So it's not actually about growing the agency at all. But this is me thinking for myself. I'm supposed to be interviewing you. Apologies, Gabby.
No, it's so interesting as well, because, you know, even that software side and that productization is something that I'm really interested in exploring as well, as like either like supplementing the offering that we do, or, you know, integrating it in as well. So yeah, it's a really good conversation to have.
But let's bring it back to MSPs. Okay. This is the audience. So we've talked about what, you know, you look at their current assets, their quoting, how their quotes are going out, how they're, you know, how they're pitching their services. Mm-hmm. What other types of work are you doing with them that you see that's maybe got a really big gap? You mentioned that opportunity that you've got, but something that you maybe think that our audience should really focus in on, it's maybe a really big pain point that you solve right away for these clients.
So a big opportunity that not a lot of MSP owners know about is the marketing development funds, or MDF, that they can get from their vendors and their partners. So normally this is a quarterly program that partners run, for example, Microsoft, through their distributors, that you can apply for. And if granted, you can run a number of different campaigns. So you can run webinars, like you mentioned. You could run lunch and learns. You could get them to co-sponsor events. You could get them to help you write case study content. You know, you can get additional content for your website, or money to put towards Google Ads. So, yeah, that's a really untapped market opportunity that
I didn't see owners know
about.
Yeah, it's one that I've never really touched on, and I'm aware of at least one agency here in the UK that they've built up their whole agency based on these MDF funds, budgets that these vendors have. The questions I've got with them is like, and it's potentially what the questions that a number of MSPs would have is like, you mentioned things like Google Ads and webinars. How do they fund like a webinar, for example? Like, are they giving you a credit on, you know, on Bing Ads? Because I mean, because that's owned by Microsoft. I mean, how does that work?
So with the webinar example, one that we just recently ran for a client, we were incentivized to run the webinar. So we opted into it. And then for, X amount of people that we could get into the webinar, we got a different contribution. So in the end, we had, over 60 people attending, and we got $3,500 for that. So, yeah, and that
is you get paid by the vendor. It's almost like a reward for getting the people into the webinar, the registrants.
Yeah, that's right. So that was on, a different topic, okay. Like a specific topic. And then, the client got that as like a...
This podcast is sponsored by MSP Games. Are you looking to grow your IT or cyber services business? Want to discover the newest, most fun way to generate high-quality leads for your technology business? Visit msp.games and join our next game. Learn, connect, and discover how you can grow your IT business and have fun at the same time. msp.games. Join the fun.
I'm learning a lot here, Gabby. My questions might be all over the place, but this is like revealing information that I don't know about. So actually, a question in the webinar. So I ran a webinar yesterday, and we had around about 48 people register onto it.
Yeah.
Of those 48 people, we had 12 people actually turn up to the webinar itself.
Yeah.
Would the MDF, the MDF fund, does that pay out on the registered attendees or the ones that actually turn up to it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So each one is different, but normally it would be on the attendees. But what we did for this webinar as well was we made sure we had, a drip campaign that ran afterwards as well, based on whether you attended or didn't attend but registered. So, after if someone, because this happens, you get busy and you have all the best intentions in the world to jump on at 11 a.m. to watch this webinar. I know I've done it before, and then the time comes and you're caught up on a phone call. But afterwards, I really want to catch up on that. So you have to make sure that that person can still access the content and gets an email with the recording and like, sorry, we missed you, but, you can catch up in your own time here. And then make sure there's a campaign that runs after that as well. So a couple of additional emails, and then you can use, content that goes onto your website and your socials just to make sure there's multiple touch points all talking about that same thing. So in that case, the vendor was paying on the attendees, but it's just a matter of life that, people will drop out. It's the same with event management. They always say account for 30% dropout, which is a bit stressful when you're running an event, but it's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I'm not good for percentages. I think it was like so 48 people registered, 12 turned up. I think that's like 25%. So 75% didn't attend. I don't know from a statistic perspective if that's good for a webinar or not. And I was always thinking after the fact, I mentioned a couple of people just before it started and thinking, okay, this is probably too late for them to attend, but they attended. And I think it was because they got like a last minute message on the webinar. So I'm now thinking to myself, do we implement some sort of like maybe an SMS reminder? So like there's the option that they can put their phone number in there so that they get a text on their phone like 15 minutes before the webinar starts. But then in my mind, I'm thinking that maybe cause friction and not get them to register for the webinar if we ask for the phone number. So yeah, I'm still trying to work that out. This is where I get lost in the technical detail.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think, like I was saying, people have the best intentions and then things pop up. And we've even had that with Lunch and Learn events before where, you know, it comes down to a minute before and someone's calling and like, I'm so sorry, there's been some IT disaster that's happened and I can't make it to lunch. So, it just happens.
I'm thinking that 200 is a good number. So if I can get 200 people to register, that means based on yesterday's performance, 50 people turn up. 50 sounds like a nice number. So for a webinar anyway. So that's the goal.
Cool. Yeah, I think that would be good. And then just have your email list built out after that as well.
So the question is, how are you selling your services? Are you going into MSPs, revealing this whole budget that they can be acquiring from vendors, the MDF budget? Is that the main thing that you're going in with, or what's your unique selling, you know, USP? What makes you different, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I would say here in Australia, there's not that many MSP marketing agencies. So that by itself is pretty unique, and we are focused on it, even though we do have a few other clients at the moment. The path forward, the strategy is in this market. You know, we like to push the boundaries. We like to do things differently. You know, even the fact that we're called Electric Peach, a lot of people are like, what does that mean?
I was going to bring you up in that name. I was like, should I ask?
Yeah, it's just honestly, the truth behind it is that I just needed a name, and naming the business is probably the hardest thing that anyone tells you about, I think. And I'd gone back and forth, and I had this other name, but when we got a bit further in, there was a potential trademark issue on it. And so I was just thinking, like, I need something that has, like, no trademark issues that no one's going to have. I want something that's not, you know, too deep or has this really profound meaning. I just really want to build a fun agency, like something that's unique and quirky, and we can really develop like a really fun tone of voice and have a look and style that is just so uniquely us. And then just after a brainstorming session right at the very end, I think as we were walking out the door, I was like, Electric Peach. And then it just stuck, and we just love it, and we've been able to build something really fun around it. So
and the fact that you've got electric in the name as well, that kind of, it's got almost like a connection to the market that you're serving. They call it, as in the US, was an MSP. It's called a super MSP because it's so big, and it's got all this private equity money. You've potentially already heard of them. Their name is Electric AI. It's a name kind of like in the back of a lot of MSPs' heads, that word electric. Mm-hmm. And without that electric, none of us would have a business. But I love the name. You've even got like that. I can see the oranges on the wall there.
I'm just at home now.
The peachy color though.
Yeah, that's it. I really, it's the way of life now. But I'm just at home. But we have similar artwork in the office as well.
The cocktail, the Negroni cocktail, or
is the Aperol Spritz, which is my favorite.
The same thing, isn't it? It's kind of I've had one of them before. They're nice.
Yeah, it's good. Good on a warm summer's day.
you can tell it's Friday, can't you?
We've already got it on the mind.
All right. Now, Gabby, I do have to apologize. When you booked this session with me, there was a question on the form that says, why do you want to come on the show? What do you want to talk about? I haven't actually read that. So
that's right. I don't think I put much in there. I can't even remember. Okay.
So I was wanting to kind of change the conversation. Is like, is there something you want to cover that I haven't asked you? That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the reasons why I booked this as well is before you were just asking how we market ourselves, and I would say up until a few months ago, the answer would be like very badly because we're just so busy.
That's always a good sign though, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's it. And it's just like we hit the ground running and have just been growing over the past 2 years. But then this year I really decided that we need to put ourselves or look at ourselves as a client as well, rather than putting us to the bottom of the list all the time. And part of that is me starting to step out as well. I've always been like just head down, work, work, work. So this is officially my first ever, you know, interview podcast recording as well. So yeah, okay. I'm just starting to put myself out there. So
Well, you're doing very well. You're far more professional than me at this, so that's not typical, though. So you've been doing this for 2 years. What do you put down to your success in the last 2 years? If you haven't, you know, worked on the marketing for your own business.
Yeah, I would say word of mouth referrals. Like, we've got some really solid clients who love working with us, and, you know, help to spread our name as well. So that's really helped us to find some new business and get working with them as well.
Okay. So yeah. I know a couple of Australians. I mean, I'm basically, this is generalizing because I'm like, I know a couple of Aussies. They're good friends of mine. They'd probably say different. So there's James from Benchmark 365. Do you know James?
No.
And then there's Nigel at the Tech Tribe.
I don't know Nigel, but I've heard of him. Yeah.
Okay. Because certainly from the Australian connection, I always immediately think of Nigel because he's based down there with you guys. And he's got an awesome community, and I see what he's doing with it, which is amazing. But that, you know, if there's, I guess from my perspective, if there's some way that I can help you out, I can make these introductions more than anything else for you, because you've given me all this time today. So if you want those intros at all, I'm happy to provide them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'd love to have a connection and be introduced to whoever.
And both of them serve, and James is quite interesting. I was speaking to him recently. He was looking to get some SEO work done, and this was me shying away from any agency work. I didn't take him on in that, but he was telling me how he grew his business, and it's quite interesting. It's pretty much like a help desk service for MSPs, like a white label help desk service. I'm probably explaining this really badly. So they basically do all of the first line stuff. His staff are based in the Philippines and places like that. But all his customers are US based, but he's based in Australia. So quite an interesting business, and that really built up over COVID. So I don't know if you take on any US clients.
The time zone's a little hard.
Is it? But okay.
Yeah, it's about 12 or 13 hours, depending. But I don't have any. But that's not to say it won't happen.
Would that depend on what side of the coast they're on?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I had a call with someone, and I think it was like 9 a.m. my time, and this was more of a software solution, and it was, I felt so sorry, it was like 10 p.m. their time, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. But it's just the only time, you know, that could work. So
I get that as well. There's a company called Threat Locker that we use, and
I went to the conference in Florida at the start of this year.
Yeah, they're based in Florida, so we'll schedule sometime in your diary, Scott. It's like 10 a.m. my time. I'm like, well, what time is it we use? Like 4 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
So the account manager is amazing at getting up at that time of day. So all right, we'll leave it now. But before we go, I want to ask, what's one marketing tip that you can give my audience of MSPs, managed service providers, like a killer marketing tip that they can walk away with today and implement in their business right away?
Oh, okay.
Put you on the spot, Gabby.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, there's so many that's floating around my head. So I need to think of a really tangible one. But this sounds a little bit like longer term, but it really comes down to consistency. So there's no point just doing a website or just sending an email. Marketing's all about consistency and that repetitive messaging. So yeah, you got to be in it for the longer haul, I'd say. So
staying top of mind.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, I have to slap myself from the rest. Every Friday I'm supposed to send out a newsletter, and it's usually every every second or sometimes every third Friday that it goes out. So yeah, the consistency wins. Well, been really good to have you on today, Gabby. Thanks for hanging around here. I know that
That's
glass
right.
of wine is waiting.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm going to walk straight out and it's going to be waiting for me. So can't wait.
How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can jump on our website, which is electricpeach.com.au, or they can find us on LinkedIn at electricpeach.